Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the age of social media and the internet, one of the more challenging jobs out there today would have to be that of a public relations manager. For example, a simple misstatement can go viral and set Twitter ablaze and make the news everywhere. An old photo of the person who is now vilified can hurt sales in a brand's image. An old quote, picture, and action can sink a political campaign or force a resignation. And the job of these people is to try to spin these things in a positive way. They are to try to explain or defend these actions or statements, even when seemingly impossible. If Jesus had a public relations manager, every day in the job would be part comedy and part nightmare. The man was born without a political bone in his body. For starters, Jesus had poor taste in friends. Case in point, the Jews detested money-hungry, backstabbing tax collectors, but Jesus marches up to one named Levi and tells him, "Follow me." He welcomed a zealot named Simon into his inner circle of 12, even though zealots were the ancient equivalent of domestic terrorists. Jesus rubbed shoulders with prostitutes. He stayed with Samaritan heretics. He healed leprous outcasts and hung out with the unwelcomed people of society. He also couldn't keep his mouth closed. He wasn't afraid to criticize the most powerful men in the religious establishment. And he called the religious elites of his day nothing but attention-hungry, big-headed hypocrites. If Jesus would have buttered these guys up, they could have been used to accelerate his career, but he didn't. Jesus seemed to invite slanderous accusations wherever he went. Since he hung out with the wrong crowd, his opponents mocked, "Look, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Jesus ruined his reputation by not only welcoming, but also by actively seeking out the wrong people. And our text is no different. Jesus is a PR disaster. And why does he do this? Let's see. Jesus is continuing his journey to Jerusalem, and he goes through Galilee and Samaria, and now finds himself outside of Jericho. On the outskirts of the city, he heals a blind man named Bartimaeus and now heads into the city itself. And as Jesus heads into this ancient and famous city, we are introduced to a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' name means pure, innocent, and clean. But he is anything but those things. He is the chief tax collector of Jericho. He certainly wasn't innocent, but was seen as a traitor. He worked with the hated Romans and sold out his own people. He certainly wasn't clean by any means, since he hung out with Gentiles, he interacted with Gentiles, and he worked with them. In fact, he was seen as unclean and outside of salvation. Tax collectors were seen to be on the same level as excommunicated Israelites. Zacchaeus is by no means clean, and he's by no means pure either. He was a wealthy man. And how do tax collectors become wealthy? Pretty simple. You take more money than you're supposed to. Zacchaeus is by no means innocent, pure, or clean. And despite having money and power and standing, Zacchaeus is missing something. He has a longing and an emptiness that cannot be filled or satisfied. The square pegs of money and power and influence cannot fit into the Christ-shaped hole that's inside all people. Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, and he wants to know who he is. He wants to know more about him. He wants to know, who is this guy who heals the blind and the lame? Who is this guy who welcomes tax collectors and prostitutes? Who is this guy who preaches with authority and is called a prophet of the Most High God? We don't know what sparked his interest and desire, but it's there. But unfortunately, though, for him, a problem occurs. Zacchaeus isn't the only one who wants to see Jesus. He's not the only one curious about him. And so a great crowd gathers in Jericho to see him. And Zacchaeus is late getting there. The crowd is too big, too tall, too wide for him to see. Zacchaeus is a wee little man after all. No one will move out of his way, lift him up, or give him a chance to peek through the crowd to see Jesus coming. But this won't stop him, though. And so he comes up with an idea. He thinks that he will beat the crowd and will run ahead to where Jesus is going to be. There's still space farther down the road. But in the process, he does the unthinkable and the degrading. He wanted to see Jesus so bad that he did what was humiliating and foolish and just shocking in that day. Zacchaeus runs and climbs a tree. In that culture, it was demeaning for an important man to run. Important people always walked. They never ran. They also never climbed trees either. It would have been a very ungraceful thing to do since the sycamore tree was big and tall and round. But given his status and longing, what did he have to lose? He was hated anyways. What's a little bit of public embarrassment at that point? And so he sits in the tree waiting to see Jesus, and he's hoping to find what he is looking for, but instead, he's found himself. Jesus comes to the base of the tree that Zacchaeus is sitting in, and he tells him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus wants to come over and eat. He wants to hang out and associate with him. He's not afraid to be seen and associated with such a despised and broken person. He befriends this man needing love and salvation and mercy. And Zacchaeus doesn't think twice about this. He doesn't take long to answer, and he immediately comes down out of the tree. He obeys and listens to the gracious call of Jesus and receives him joyfully. But those watching the events did not share his joy. They grumble and complain. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. You can hear the disgust in their voice. Zacchaeus' house? He's going there? You can hear the disbelief. He's a sinner, a chief tax collector. Why would he associate with such a traitorous, unclean outcast? You can hear some jealousy. I was hoping he'd come to my house. But as Zacchaeus opens his home to this honored guest, a change takes place. Zacchaeus is a changed man because of the call of Jesus. He's repentant of his old evil ways and stands up and says, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will repay it fourfold." His confession results from the grace given to him. Riches are no longer his treasure, but Jesus is. And hearing this, our Lord proclaims, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham physically by descent, but most importantly, one by faith. And as the nice meal ends and wraps up, Jesus continues on his way. As he leaves that old, historic, and famous city, his path winds up to Jerusalem. It takes him to the temple where he drives out money exchangers and vendors. It pulls him up to the upper room where he gives his last will and testament. It takes him to Gethsemane where he prays, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." The path places him into the hands of his enemies and leads him to Pilate and Herod and the sinister and scheming Sanhedrin. He's bloodied and beaten at Gabbatha. He struggles on the Via Dolorosa and ends at Golgotha, where he is crucified between two violent and vile criminals. As he's mocked and scorned, he tells the penitent thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And at the end of it all, he screams, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." And he breathes his last. From a PR perspective, this was a train wreck and disaster. From a career perspective, Jesus was a failure. He didn't defeat or drive out the Romans. From a religious perspective, he was a troublemaker who was now silenced. From a streetwise perspective, he danced with death and lost. But from the Father's perspective, he could do no wrong. And he did no wrong. The centurion at the cross cried out, "Surely this man was innocent. Surely this was the Son of God." And God seconded that proclamation 3 days later as he raised Christ from the dead. Jesus came, but he accomplished the due. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus does not need a PR person for that message. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who came to seek and save the lost. Amen.